This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Yes, we can talk all night.
Yeah, I know we can, but we must do this and make us legal for the next hour. You are listening to Pacifica Radio's listener-sponsored KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, www.kpft.org.
Houston's listening to KPFT Houston. What? Now it's 1 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
So I can make
that's
this
like half of our show. where we would be done almost.
Well, we're a quarter of the way through ours.
Yeah.
Wow.
The possibilities. Technically, this show is on from 1 until 4. We have been filling in the midnight to 1 spot.
And you do it so well.
And
we do it with grace.
Certainly hope that we can.
I have to say, I was jamming to the radio, and y'all played Proud, Make Me Feel Proud,
yeah,
to come on, and I was in the line at Burger King, and I was just jamming. I was like, oh my God, I looked. They're like, what a queen, because I'm wearing my rainbow beads, and I'm jamming to Make Me Feel Proud. And they're like, oh, they're rolling their eyes.
But what we do at After Hours is we usually play a couple of songs at the beginning of the show, do our
community announcements.
Community announcements, and then we do what we call an After Hours Quickie. And that is a short interview with a group.
Or individual.
And on the fourth Saturday of each month, it's GCAM's turn. And GCAM decided to stay home tonight.
Well, they were working all day. They were in
because
that
they knew that Jack Walensky was going to be here and wanted to give him as much time as possible.
And we appreciate Jack
and
being
here. I want to read that on July 25th, GCAM After Hours Quickie will be an extended segment because Dr. Brian Riedel from Houston Arch, the Houston Area Rainbow Collective History, will be joining the GCAM crew to talk about local GLBT community history and to expand digital access to related historical materials and how that pertains to GCAM. Brian will hopefully be bringing other Houston Arch coordinators with him. So that's what's happening the fourth Saturday of next month and why GCAM isn't here tonight.
Well, we've had Brian on Queer Voices a couple of times to talk about the digitization project.
Yes, we've been.
We're very excited about that project. And
I know. I've been telling everybody in the world, you know, when you go on Jack's show, you get about 10 minutes for an interview, you know.
If you
come on After Hours, we'll give you an hour.
And if you go on.
And that night, Brian's on, and he gets an hour.
and he likes to talk. If Brian, if you're listening, you're a good talker. So we have to like cut him off. We have the music. You know, it's like the Academy Awards where they're playing the music to kind of
and if
send you
go
send
on
you off.
The Today Show, you get like 30 seconds.
I know.
We are very lucky here at KPFT to be able to do that. We're very lucky here that they don't come and say you got to do this, you got to do. I mean, there are some very minor things that we have to do, like when elections come up, we've got to explain to the audience how the elections come up, because this station is run by the listeners' sponsors, and we've got to play a couple PSAs, but we have one of the most incredible freedoms to be able to do the shows for our community, and we're very, very lucky to do that. I am very lucky on Queer Voices to have an incredible staff that works together. Because believe me, I've been in organizations where that doesn't always happen.
I'm amazed that we come up with shows. Like the week of, we're like, okay, who do we get on? And we're like,
well, I say that, you know, you only get a 10-minute interview on Queer Voices because normally you have so many different groups and individuals
on. We try to be the weekly news source for Houston GLBT.
You know, 90% of which doesn't stay up late enough to be on After Hours.
Right. Well, we talk to the people that have to get up, you know, at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, and kind of tired on Saturday night. A lot of my friends are like, I'm glad I'm not, you know, in my, you know, I can go home after the parade and relax. And then half my friends are at South Beach right now.
Of course.
Tearing it up.
Yes, I can't come on your show, but I will be closing with the Ripcord.
don't we have somebody at the Ripcord now?
Yeah, actually, we do.
Yes. The other co-executive producer of After Hours, Chris, had to step in with another organization he's a member of. That is the Big Men's
Club.
Houston Big Men's Club.
Speaking of Chris.
Yes.
Here he comes now.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, he just walked in the door.
Oh, my God. As we're explaining why he's not here,
he looks like death warmed over.
Wait. Hi, honey.
He looks a little worn out.
Well, rode hard and put away wet? On the night of the Pride Parade. What do you think that was like?
Crazy and sweaty and hairy.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think you hit the nail on the head for any night of the week at the Ripcord.
Well, extra hairy and sweaty.
I had to tap out from the doghouse.
I see. Okay. They were in the doghouse.
Somehow you changed your shirt, though. So.
Yes. Yeah, he did that here.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he did.
As any good homosexual, I need to have a costume change at least.
You need to be ready to go on a moment's notice for another costume change. Oh, absolutely.
Thank God this is radio, so I didn't have to change my costume.
I know that we have other people waiting in the lobby that want to get on and talk about the parade.
I mean, we talk more than we ever talk on our show.
Well, you know, I'd like to be able to give you that time to do so.
I would love to. I mean, I think we need to have a more symbiotic relationship between our two shows.
You just want to get on and talk.
I'm a media hoe. I like to talk.
I think he just wanted to say symbiotic.
Oh, okay.
I think he wants to. Well, we'll leave that alone.
Okay.
So anyway, we digress.
Jack, I'll see you again.
Well, thank you.
Right here, this time next year.
If not sooner.
If not sooner.
Yes. Thank you.
And Brian.
Thank you, the crew of After Hours, and a wonderful parade, and I'm so glad to be part of the KPFT family.
Sharing the trailer with you.
Yes, and I love yelling out to people with the microphone.
You got with it after a while.
I was yelling at Ernie Manoo, so I was like, yay, Ernie. He's like, you're talking back to me.
Yes, I heard him say that.
Yes, we are. It was funny.
He was talking about how Queer Voices and After Hours were together on the same float, and he said, and I've been on both those shows.
Yeah, I heard him say that.
Yes, so thank you for having us on.
You bet.
It was a pleasure.
I know we've got some nice queer music to go to.
Yeah, let's do
that. Let's go to that turntable number first.
Oh, yeah, you want to do that one first?
I want to do that because this country is just overwhelmed with idol this and idol that.
And please,
and
can
who's queer in the idol contest? And I want to remind folks about the first queer.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, how about we do that now?
Okay.
Make it so, number one.
All right.
Birds fly over the rainbow, then why? Oh, why?
Never stood out. A Baton Rouge kid, another face in the crowd. I had big dreams to be a rock star. I tell myself someday they'll know who you are. Cause everybody's gotta start somewhere. And if you strike the match, then someday you'll get there. Yeah. Cause from the ashes you can start again. I changed my name and made some brand new friends. Someday I know they will remember me and wonder how my life came to be. Yeah.
didn't say. Flying back and forth from H-Town to L.A. Now I'm more than just a face in your crowd. A radio revolution with a new day sound. Cause everybody has a star somewhere. Just strike the match and someday you'll get there. Yeah. Cause from the ashes you can start again. Change your name and make some brand new friends. Someday I know they will remember you. And wonder how they can get there too. Yeah. Taking from the ashes. When you've been chased back down. Taking from the ashes.
shoe never fits. If the shoe never fits, just run.
Oh,
did some music.
Yes, we did.
I know that last one was Nona Hendrix, Keep It Confidential. That was a big hit for her and a queer anthem back when we were all closeted.
That's you were never in the closet.
No, I know, but a lot of people
were. You came doing a chorus kick out of the womb.
But a lot of people were closeted back way back when that song came out.
Actually, so, they had a hard time keeping Jimmy out of the womb because it was pink, and so he just kept wanting to go. That's the only reason he kept wanting to go back in.
Stop.
He kept holding on to it.
And
parachute what?
Nona Hendrix is openly bisexual. She was part of...
Real flamer.
Yeah, she is a real flamer. she was part of... The album has fire on this cover. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, she has, okay. Has a picture on it.
She was part of Marmalade, if you remember that, anything about that.
Surprisingly enough, voulez-vous, I do.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Yes.
Lady Marmalade.
Yes. Patti LaBelle being the front singer, and Nona being one of the two backups.
Yep.
And she's had a wonderfully successful career since then. Despite being openly bisexual. And we did another song by her before that.
Living on the Border.
Uh-huh. And before that, we had...
We did Jay Arsenault.
Mm-hmm.
Take It From the Ashes.
Yes.
Yes.
And then before that, we did...
Frustrated Housewives.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I just did your...
No.
What, I know what boys
I know,
like.
I know what boys like.
Had to
cover,
go back and look.
Cover of that.
Do you
and
know,
we started
Jimmy?
Out with the first queer... Pride Idol, not winner, but first runner-up, Sam Harris, doing Over the Rainbow.
Nice long set there.
Yeah.
Way back in the days when it was Star Search.
It's Star Search.
Woo!
Ooh. No, Pride Idol, not American Idol.
American Idol. Yeah, okay.
That'll take us all the way back in
Woo,
time.
Will it ever.
Yeah. Ed McMahon doing that show.
Yeah.
Dad.
Yes, we know.
Yes. Yes.
So many people dead recently.
Okay, we've got Chris is back with us. I'm Jimmy.
I'm Wes.
And we've got, who else have we got in the studio?
Who we got
here?
In the studio? Sound off.
We'll talk amongst ourselves while someone answers the phone.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll get that. Y'all talk.
Scott.
I'm Steven.
We know Chris is here.
I am?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
If only in body.
And I'm Dalen, otherwise known as Tigger.
Ah. Welcome. Because I know you came a long way.
Oh, yeah. This event. I got up about 2.5 hours away, climbed on my motorcycle, and rode down here for the festival and the Pride Parade. Mm. Stayed for this.
Great.
Fantastic.
That is fantastic. So,
Okay, I'm going to need to interject here real fast. That caller made a correction for us.
Oh, what?
And I should have caught it myself. Nona Hendrix was not a part of Marmalade. She was part of LaBelle, who sang Lady Marmalade.
Oh.
Oh, there we go.
Really?
I should have caught that one myself.
Ooh.
But, you know, I'm tired.
Yeah, you are.
That's okay, because Jimmy's old.
We keep him in business.
Thank you for the correction. Thank you for the correction. She was part of LaBelle. Okay.
All right. Now moving on. Hi, Tigger.
Hi.
And all you other queers in there.
So we want to know how everybody liked the Pride Parade and the festival and whatever it is you got to experience. And was it fantastic? Was it better than last year or not or what?
And while y'all do that, I'm going to go to sleep.
Okay.
Well, it was amazing as far as in better than last year. I don't know because I was locked up last year. So. It was a lot better than last year for me. But, yeah, it was good.
It was the festival or which one?
Anything. Yeah.
All of it.
All of it.
The whole
last
thing.
Last year he was an MBB for us.
Yeah.
Right. No, I got that.
The whole thing was just great. It was hot.
Oh,
it was really hot. Humid tonight.
Yeah.
But
yeah, where the hell was our traditional rain shower?
I know. It usually rains sometime on Saturday.
And it teased.
Actually, it did rain. When I was on my way down to the parade, it rained a little bit on me on 45.
No kidding.
Yes, it did.
Okay.
It was probably about 5 seconds, but it was there.
Yeah, but it's supposed to actually rain in the Montrose for a very brief moment.
Yeah.
Don't get technical with me, damn it.
I mean, we were sitting there watching. We were putting together the float, and I'm going, it's getting a little darker. The wind is picking up. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to come. Never came.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's coming. Let's go.
Let's not go there.
That was the first year I'd ever gone to the festival, and I don't know. I don't know if it was better than past years, but it seemed really commercialized. Like everybody was cramming something they're trying to sell down your throat.
Well, that's commercial.
I guess, yeah. I mean, there was one little tent in the corner that was informational stuff, but I don't know. It was much different than what I had envisioned. So we went back to the parade lineup.
Is that when I ran into you?
We were walking to there to see Mom and Dad.
Mm-hmm.
But the parade was great.
I had forgotten David's name to shout out to him, so I had to wait till you came up. But I didn't make it to the festival. I was down getting with the lineup with the KPFT float.
Yeah, most years we don't get. We're always building floats and doing stuff.
So, I don't know about the festival part. The parade. At least I know this year how long it was. It was just under 70 minutes because I used up the whole CD bringing the music. And I think the last song I was playing was the last one on that CD. So it wasn't too long of a trip. And we actually started our music early on Hazard.
Yeah.
That we kicked up a little early. The only problem we had is we had the veterans for peace in front of us, and they were playing music, so...
And we had Outsmart behind us playing music.
And, of course, you know, with the type of music we play during the Pride Parade, it's the same type of music we play on the show. So, you know, we start off with a little bit softer songs, because I knew we were going to still be in the neighborhood there. And so we're trying to take Jeff Krasner, 110 in the Shade, which I felt was an appropriate opening song for Pride Parade this year.
Yes, yeah, very much so.
And trying to compete with the B-52s in front of us.
And YMCA behind us.
Wow.
But fortunately, they kind of calmed their stuff down, so ours got a little bit better. But during the parade, I couldn't even hear the music to tell you what we're playing. And I mean, the speakers were in the front of the truck. It was in the front of the bed of the truck that was pulling our trailer. So... there's a couple of times I'm sitting there going, I don't remember what order I put these in, and trying to listen in, it's like I couldn't hear the music because people were yelling and screaming, and we were doing our yelling and screaming on microphone. And
we sure were.
That was an interesting four-way on mic. But, no, I mean, it was at least... unlike past year, it flowed. It wasn't that big, okay, go 100 miles an hour
and
then stop for 3 days.
Yeah.
We didn't have that.
It
was a consistent flowing motion on that.
We really didn't stop at all.
Like, couple of blocks.
Yeah.
The last couple of blocks, it was like, did we start the marathon again?
Yeah, once you get past the Grand Marshal, or the, not the Grand Marshal, but the...
the grandstand?
The grandstand, and...
so they're just trying to hurry up and get you out of there.
Yeah, apparently Ernie didn't realize that we were yelling back at him. Because we started yelling back at him, and he's like, oh, they've got microphones. Yeah! but no, I mean, it was... I don't know, I was missing... one thing I think I was missing was there was nothing hanging at the intersection.
There wasn't.
Mm.
No chandelier, no
crystal ball.
Yeah.
Deflated something.
Mm-hmm. No, that's
the,
true.
The disco testicle.
Disco testicle.
But no, the I did kind of miss that because I remember, you know, the first time I did the Pride Parade, and there was this, back when they had the disco ball, and you make that turn in front of by Hollywood Video, right. And the lesbian triangle, and you look up and you see that ball, and it was just, it's something to
symbolic.
Inspire you on. It's really something, yeah. And I only made two comments, I think, that made Jimmy cringe during the parade. One of them, I had the microphone off when I was, you know, I had the microphone off, and one of the officers came by on the horse, and I had the microphone in my mouth, but it was turned off, and I go, who's hung better, the horse or the officer?
No, actually, your phrase was, officer, are you hung like a horse?
Yeah, and Jimmy's jaw dropped.
Yeah, I thought he was going to have epilepsy.
I thought
he
was rather
just
nice.
Waiting on the answer.
They had, I was running around before the parade started up, and, you know, they had the one cop who was on the white horse, and they had another one on a smaller horse, and I was like, you know, that cop on the white horse is overcompensating.
Well, I think he was on his high horse.
I got my picture taken with two of those officers.
Mm. There's a couple of cute
I don't know. There. They don't usually let the horses get high before the show.
Oh, and the other one is when we got over to the lesbian triangle, and I said, if you're a lesbian, say,
Yeah, I remember you doing that.
Yeah, I was on mic at that time. I got a funny look out of Jimmy. Mm.
Don't mind the man in the pink over here.
He's never do.
There is no man in the pink. She's a lady.
Yeah, well.
I do understand what was being said about the festival being kind of commercial. It was a little bit more like a gay flea market than
they have
a
gay
festival.
Fleas?
It'll be more like a gay fleece market.
But at the same time, for somebody like me who's 2.5 hours from Montrose and doesn't have access to a lot of this merchandise without having to get on the computer and finding it.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, all right. You know.
Go to Oriental Trading.
You
go to Oriental Trading, you can get all that rainbow crap for a tenth of the price.
Oh, ouch.
This was the first time I'd ever been to the festival.
Really?
I've never been to the festival.
Oh, my goodness.
The very first time I've actually gotten out of the house early enough to go to the festival. And
yeah, I saw you a few times.
Well, I'll put it this way.
I was at the other end.
I didn't go to the festival myself.
Stopped for people to take pictures.
Yeah. I didn't go to the festival myself because I looked at Sean at noon and said, we're not leaving before 6 o'clock. It's too damn hot.
It was very hot. However, I was with GCAM, and we were in the history tent, which was air-conditioned. And though probably
leave it to Mary to find the only air conditioned tent in all of Houston.
Well, of course.
And they didn't try to sell anything. They did put me to work.
No. Oh, we did. Oh, boy, did we put
in work.
Well,
they figured it also
wouldn't
be the history tent
unless we had Jimmy
in it.
I showed up drunk off my ass 13, 14 years ago, and I'm not allowed to leave.
Yeah.
That's all right. I came in, and Jimmy hooked me into doing the Christmas shows, and now I'm stuck.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!
There you go.
Well, I found out that he knew something about music, and, you know,
heaven forbid on that one.
That impressed me.
A radio host that knows something about music.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So back to the parade.
Yeah.
One of the good things about Pride is where else in public are you going to hear the following conversation? Oh, my God, those shoes are fabulous. Thank you. I like your underwear.
I want
any
to say
gay bar.
This.
All right. No,
then out.
I have never been...
You know, like on the street.
I will say this. This is the only time of year that you will actually legally be able to see grown men, and I use that term loosely, run around in nothing but their underwear.
I have never seen so many men in their underwear in all my life.
There were a lot of them that should have
been allowed to run in their underwear.
There were so many that
this was in the crowd.
There were so many of them that were like that were really cute. I almost broke my neck 3 times.
Yeah.
But there are 2 times when you're allowed to see that. The other one is Halloween weekend.
And then there was a guy at the festival running around in boxer shorts.
Well, I like the ones that were wearing the bikini briefs, actually.
When does the phone party start? You know? It's like, what's going on here?
So,
I saw somebody in a fig leaf thong.
Yes.
Of course, I have to say...
Much butt cheek.
I have to say one thing, though. I think my favorite part of the whole parade were the two young men that were standing against that one building. I can't remember what building it was.
Yeah.
Sucking face so hard that I thought they were going to swallow each other.
Yes, that was wonderful.
And the one guy kept pushing the other guy's shoulders down, but he was smart enough to stay up.
Well, it didn't help that we all three called them out on it.
Yeah, well, there is that.
I wanted to stop this truck so that we could watch more.
I thought the crowd was a lot bigger. It seemed thicker, closer.
Are you talking about the crowd or their members?
The crowd. Oh, okay. The crowd.
I had to clarify
it
that
was,
one.
Okay, the crowd was...
more numerous?
More numerous.
I think it was more spread
closer
out.
to the beginning.
I'd say definitely.
That's true.
There were a lot more than there was last year.
Yeah, usually there's like three or four blocks and it's really sparse. But
I have to say that the middle part of the crowd was the thickest in numbers.
Ooh.
Mm.
And it was quite a bit after...
and I'm talking about the people, not their members.
I love when it's thick.
Yes.
At least they didn't rush through. At least for the most part, they didn't rush the float.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the marathon a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. People were running to keep up. That was horrible.
But I mean, the crowd didn't, like, cave in on the, you know...
Jack talked about that. They had more barriers. The city has purchased more barriers.
Well, and they were spending a lot of time setting those things up beforehand, too.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for that because there was not nearly as many people just walking up to the floats as there was last year.
The area across the street from me had a section where they did not have barriers, and the police officers were going through there fairly regularly.
They were doing a really good job.
Edge people back. They did a real good job with that.
Yeah. I did notice one person wasn't paying attention, almost got trampled by a horse.
Well, you know, you got to watch them. You got to watch them. Yeah.
Well, he shouldn't have been out in the street in the first place.
I'll tell you, towards the beginning, before they started the barriers, people came really up close to the float, and it really made me nervous.
Yeah, that's the only part that makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Because they
not
don't...
Not that I'm afraid of the crowd, but sometimes they just get a little unruly and try to rip things up.
Not only that, but we are in a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
They can be seriously hurt by that.
With trailers and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they can get caught under those tires, so...
They can.
So remember that next year, folks. Stay away from the vehicles that are moving.
Well, I saw more people running across the street to grab beads that had not made it all the way to the barriers on the other side and run back than I did see people trying to approach the floats.
Yeah.
Well, there were quite a few that were approaching floats.
I tried to make really sure that when I tossed a set of beads, I was tossing it to a specific person I was looking at.
Yeah, but you throw like a girl.
I know last year I was lobbing them over into the... Last year when I was doing beads, there were people throwing them just at the people in front. I was lobbing them over into the back of the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Because
It's like, those people back there aren't getting squat.
That's right. And all the people in front have got, you know, three dozen of them hanging around.
Actually, the people in the back are the ones who are far enough back in the crowd to get squat. Okay. Even if it doesn't have beads.
I'm turning your mic off now. You've just been de-mic'd.
Oh, better people have tried.
Mary, cut that out.
Scott has been around here a long, long time.
Yeah.
Long, long time. He started the first Hatch segment in the early 90s.
It's a late 90s.
He's a pillar and you're a petrified tree.
Hey.
Hatch is how I
got. Kiwi's only petrified because those little blue pills are working.
Are you trying to say I am always hard?
No, I'm just saying you're old.
Well, you could blame it on edema.
Scott's the reason I'm here.
Is he?
Yes.
Jimmy,
I know.
Who introduced me to you?
I know,
sir.
That's all right.
Slept since then. So.
That's right. The faux blonde sitting on the floor down there is the one that got me started on this.
So?
What about me? The blonde's looking kind of pale.
Blonde.
Yeah, I know.
Not looking so good.
Really?
Like I said, faux blonde.
Ooh.
Faux blonde. Mm.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't go with blonde. Why should you pay
that? Stick with red, honey.
Scott did for years.
Yes.
Years.
Of course, it was pink for a couple parades.
Yeah, well, so.
I think we lost Chris.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay, I did not get...
Chris, wait. Chris, do you want a pillow?
Being in the parade...
Yes.
I didn't get to see it, as usual. And I should have jumped off the float to watch the end of it, but didn't.
You were too busy running a second parade.
I know
the first parade.
Yeah, I know, right? Trying to get back over here.
For those out there, over there, who saw the parade, what was your favorite float? And or explain, you know, describe some of your favorite floats.
We'll start with Tigger.
I don't know that I had one particular favorite.
Okay.
Not being from here, the political ones didn't mean as much to me
sure.
as some of the others.
Yeah.
Although I was glad to see that the candidates and things were showing up to try to court the gay vote. I did feel very sorry for the drag queens and that had to walk the whole thing in heels.
Ooh.
Because I know what it feels like to walk in heels. And that would be a long walk in heels.
Yep.
But probably my favorites were the ones with the half-naked guys dancing.
And, oh, imagine that.
You know. the yeah. KPFT float, of course.
Oh, you know. Yeah, listen to him. We're very grassroots.
And I got to yell at Chris. And
maybe and roots. I don't know about grass, but definitely roots.
Then I yelled at Merlin when the pagan float came by.
Yeah.
And it took forever for somebody to tell him that I was yelling at him. And then he tried to throw me a bead. And when you say he throws like a girl, it's clarified. This is not like a lesbian softball player. This went like 30 feet to my left. And I don't know
just
what happened to those
for the record,
beads.
I am trying to keep my balance on a moving vehicle.
You were sitting down.
Yeah. We're still taking away your official classification as pitcher.
But I really liked the P flag coming through because... Woo! That means a lot to me.
Yeah.
That support. And also the older groups, because they're the ones that paved the way and started doing this before I was born. So that I can go stand on the side of the road and yell and scream and get a bunch of beads.
In other words, act like a total jack.
yeah, basically. No.
Where is that?
Oh. That's funny.
Chris is trying to wake up now.
Can make it through the show. Are you okay, Jimmy?
I'm fine.
Speaking of the younger generation, did anybody happen to notice how young the volunteer, the people going on the AIDS Foundation Houston float for?
No, I didn't see that.
There's an awful lot of fairly young people on that.
I saw enough out there that made my inner priest go hallelujah several times.
Well,
yeah, you
now
and me both.
Jack goes dead, your dating pool has opened up.
Oh!
Yeah, okay.
Oh, God, he went there.
Next year, yeah, like Michael Jackson, I was in heaven too.
What makes you think he was in heaven?
God.
Only so Elvis can kick his ass going, what the hell were you doing with my daughter?
Yeah, I don't want to be there for that.
No.
Scott, what was your favorite floats?
Oh, I actually didn't see most of it. I have a friend of mine who is newly on the wagon, and so I was helping her out.
Okay.
Because parade's not a... We started to go, and then it just started to be a bad space for her.
Okay.
So. Okay.
It's not an easy place to stay sober if you're newly there.
That is definitely
Oh, I didn't
true.
Realize that.
Oh, it's horrendous.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, think about how many bars are along that route, too.
Bars along the route. Ever noticed how many lesbians are carting beer coolers up and down the street?
Oh.
I had four different people offer me jello shots.
Really?
Yeah. The Pride Parade is... I know there are different organizations around town you know, involved with sobriety that will organize groups to attend,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, who will put floats in the parade. But by and large, unless you're with a good large group of sober people, it's not the best place to be.
Well, I don't drink, so it's not really on my radar,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think about it in terms of other people.
Yeah,
but because I know that if you're in the parade, there better not be any alcohol,
right?
or you're going to get pulled out.
Yeah, well, I know I used to break that rule.
Yeah,
when I was in the parade, but I used to break a lot of rules.
But I've, so, you know, and I've been.
Well, you're a broken rule to begin with.
I've been with exactly. a lot of different groups, and you know, in my years of being in the parade, and at no time did a group I was with have any alcohol with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, being in the parade is one thing. Attending the parade,
yeah,
and it's something that I've kind of noticed lately is that being in a sober community in the gay community. Or at least at large, is almost like being, you know, countercultural in the gay community.
Yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is.
So, you know,
it's not as bad as it used to be.
No,
you
but
know,
it's still
15,
really bad.
20 years ago, you went into a bar and you ordered a Coke, and people looked at you funny and mm-hmm. thought you were, you know, like with liquor control or something. Yeah, you got treated really badly. It's not that way anymore because so many more people do not drink alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but a lot of bars are selling lots of bottled
yes,
water.
Yes, they are.
Because
they
a lot
are.
Of the, a lot of people are wanting to dance and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And instead of falling out while they're dancing, they prefer to have the water.
Yeah, yeah, you're
I
right.
I can attest to bottled water sales tonight.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I guess I'm just naive, but I would have thought that if I drank, I don't know that I'd want to drink at a parade in a public place. I mean, it's so easy to get a PI.
It's one of the few times where that's not going to happen.
How many?
Why not?
How many people do you think the police have to choose from to start issuing PIs?
All they have
to do
is... If
they start issuing those, they'd have to shut half the parade down.
Well,
exactly.
But, you know,
basically,
you only
if you don't
have
make
to...
a disturbance, if you don't make
yeah.
an
but
ass out of yourself,
you really have
leave
to
you
work
alone.
To get a PI. It takes a lot of work.
You only have to pull out a certain amount before people get the idea, oh, hell, you can't drink in public or you get thrown in jail.
Well, that's true, but I mean, unless you're really doing, you know, something to draw severe attention to yourself, they're not even going to bother.
Yeah,
plus, we have a lot of people from Nolans.
I mean, you know, if you jump out past one of the barriers and whip it out, they might pull you. They might, you know, grab
well,
you.
Well, I think they're going to get you for something more than just PI on that.
Yeah.
Well, that's
depending
true.
On the cop and the Montrose, you may get a ride in the back of his in a car.
Or get ridden in the back of his car.
At one point, we were stopped for a minute, and there were two young boys on the right-hand side of the KPFT float.
Are you talking about the two in the red shorts?
One of them had a bottle of liquor in his hand. You know, like a big bottle of liquor.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was swigging from it. And I thought, wow, I wouldn't...
I would have given him something else to swig from.
I wouldn't do that in public, you know.
Like I said, I'd give him something else to swig from.
Mm-hmm. Follow him until he goes home private.
You said swig, not swing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Swig. Yeah.
Those two boys in the red fire...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
They ran up and down the parade.
Well, I wanted them to run up
times.
And down
it
something,
was,
too.
It was quite enjoyable.
Mm. Yeah. That
if
was
you're
like,
listening out there, nice job.
That whatever they were wearing, it's smaller than a Speedo, you know?
Mm.
Well, they were smaller than a Speedo.
On some people, it would be called a belt.
Whew.
Well, it's hot again this year.
Yes,
hot again
is.
Next year is this year.
Still not nearly as hot as it used to be when we did that damn thing during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I threatened Jimmy I was going to, in the spirit of Stonewall 40, I was going to wear a tube top and hot pants.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is when I left home, it was 100 degrees at my house.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it got to the point in the early to mid-90s when... People started really falling out.
Yes,
they did. I almost fell out at one point. I was kind of over by Cats, you know, right towards mm-hmm. the end. And two, I remember one year, and two lesbians ran to me, pulled me out of the parade, threw me on the ground, and started putting ice on my wrists and my forehead and everything. I guess I really looked bad.
You still do.
Thank you. You hateful cow.
And that's coming from me, who's living the shape he is right now.
And remember what I was saying during our musical notes there?
Yes.
He looks like total FCC. Yeah. He needs to go home.
Yeah. No, but it was to that point. And when Jack was on, I made the point that one of the selling points for the nighttime parade was that too many men with HIV and AIDS weren't able to either be in the parade or even attend it because it was too hot.
Exactly.
Well, and that changed.
So much fun when it was.
And the whole thing changed overnight. It suddenly went to a parade that had 10,000 people watching it to a parade that had 100,000 people watching it in 1 year.
Not good for photographs, though.
It was incredible.
Oh, no, it's still
flash
really
photography.
Good for
flash
we had
photography.
Those
wonderful
up lights they put on us.
Yeah, those weren't exactly cool either.
Make everybody look like the Phantom of the Opera.
I love the one thing. I was able to break out my old Pride Parade joke I did several years ago when the was on the flip with the Houston the Gay Lesbian Community Center back when Maria Minicucci was president.
Oh, I loved her.
And got on the float, and Deb Murphy, her partner, was standing next to me. She lit up a cigarette. And I looked over her and goes, excuse me, but I think I requested the non-smoking section of the Pride float. And she looked at me and she goes, bite me.
Now, oh, that is so Deb Murphy.
Today she came up and went to the, was trying to look at the Outsmart float. They arrived late. And she was talking on the phone, and then she got off the phone, and we were talking for a moment, and she lit a cigarette. And I go, excuse me, I think I asked for a non-smoking section of the Pride float. And she just looked at me and busted out laughing and gave me a hug on that one. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. Now broadcasting in high-definition radio.
Ooh.
If you want to find out what's going on there, go to kpft.org. Right now, you'll probably be listening to the BBC.
Oh. Yeah. Do we want to go to a piece of music? And
actually, I have one more thing.
Oh, okay.
I have to say, I think my favorite part of tonight was when I first arrived at the KPFT float. Chris was talking to a young man, and I found out, Chris told me after the young man left, what he was there for. And it just tickled me about as pink as you are tonight.
Oh, my. Ooh,
that's
really
pretty pink.
When
I was almost in tears.
Chris was almost in tears when I walked up, but it tickled me pink that as soon as, I mean, I was standing behind the young man.
Yeah.
And I said, Chris, are you okay? Because he was trying to stand up at the time. And the young man turned and said, Wes, the friendly intern.
Wow.
We had this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about.
This young couple. Come up to us, and
well, it was just you at the point.
Yeah, well, he came from the KPFT float and was going, because I'm looking for Chris, and I'm like, that's me, and he just stood there and goes, thanks to your show, if it wasn't for your show, I would be in a very dark place right now, and it's hitting me up now again. The heat's keeping me from remembering the whole thing, really. And it was, you know, we tease about every year when Outsmart does their awards, and you know, the Houston Press does theirs. All those other things come out, and if, you know, we don't get any recognition, that was our award.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it definitely was.
Somebody that, you know, that we touched their lives in a way, and. That's, yeah, sometimes my mother wonders why in the hell I stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning down here. And, you know, when I go over to their house on Sunday and I'm looking sometimes like death warmed over.
Like you do right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little better than now. And
your death reheated then.
That's something that makes it worth it.
Yeah.
That's.
I was sitting in the history tent, and I was talking to
Judy. He was an exhibit.
We're talking good stuff now.
Okay.
Hey.
We'll pick on Grandma later.
I was talking to Judy, and I heard this voice say, "Are you Jimmy?" And I looked up, and I saw this guy with his with another guy, and I said, "Yes." And he just burst into tears. What is this about? So I got up and came around from behind the desk, and he said, "You did a shout out to me at a time when I was in a really dark place. And if if you hadn't said what you said, I might not be here." And I just hugged this guy because, like you said, Chris, it's just that's my paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's. I remember when we started doing the Hatch Show many, many years ago. Having a regular segment on this program was fantastic for me because, and not too many years before when I was in high school, I'd dial up my best friend Leslie, and we would sit on the phone till, 30 in the morning, both listening to the radio with the phone on, talking about what we were listening to. Because it was just unreal that, there were gay people talking on the radio. It was, and of course, Jimmy was...
Mary.
Still, yeah.
Way back when.
Yes, but yeah. You were still hosting the show way, mm-hmm. way back then.
Yeah.
And it was, it was kind of a lifesaver. Even though I was going to, the official gay high school of the city.
I know. HSPV gay.
I know.
Well, all I know is, so that we can go into our music interlude real fast. I really wanted to say that because it's like I know the young man's out there listening to us again tonight.
It's really important, though. That's why we do this show.
And I just want to say thank you for coming up to us and letting us know that we had an impact on your life and that you knew us. So, again, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for everybody that was at the parade today.
And I hope you had a really, really good Pride Day.
Yes, and for those of you who have friends who don't live in Houston... Tell them to hit the website and listen to us there.
Yeah, kpft.org.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This must have been the night for being recognized on the radio because two young men came up to the pagan float and asked for Merlin.
Oh, my goodness.
And they said they heard me on the show.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Have an HCC shirt on?
May have.
Black African-American couple?
African-American.
That was our
same
couple.
Yeah, that was our guys.
And
same guys came up to my float.
That's
and
our guys.
They took a picture with Chris and I.
They took a picture with one of each of them. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a really, really special night.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
So. All right, Jimmy. Which one did you want
to
do here first?
Let's go to turntable one.
All right.
We're playing a lot of original vinyl tonight, folks.
Yes, we are.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Here, let me get that turned
on. Jimmy's own personal collection.
That's right.
Yeah, he had to actually go in and dust all the dust off all this stuff.
It's bad enough when I watch WKRP. I look at the control board and go, it's the same board we're running. We don't use the turntables as much.
Now we are tonight. All right, here we go.
Oh, love that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, that's really stuff from
the vaults.
That was Boys Town Gang from 1981.
Here, I was born.
Signed, sealed. Shut up. Yeah. Signed, sealed, and delivered.
That's all right. I was 6 years old.
Signed, sealed, and delivered. And see, in 1981, this was a group that toured the United States in gay clubs. It was a couple of guys, and the women there are drag queens, and it was just an unheard of thing for a gay group to openly be open about it and tour doing covers of popular songs. So I've got a lot of their stuff. Before that, we had a group called Modern Rocketry doing Homosexuality, which was a big dance hit in 1986. And it openly, of course, talked about homosexuality.
You think, just from the title?
Well, which was really unheard of, and especially to put the title of the song, Homosexuality.
Well, they couldn't put Rooster Licking on the title.
Yeah. They were funny about that. Anyway, some more stuff from the vault that was on original vinyl. You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
The original Attitude.
Well, when the show first started, it was called... it wasn't Queer Radio with Attitude. It was After Hours.
We Old Queens.
That's funny, you know.
And they're still
just remarking
now.
That, you know, 21 years later, he's still the oldest person on
yes,
the show.
Yes, I know it. I know it. It just drives me crazy.
And he's not even a senior citizen yet.
Living life in the Montrose.
He's not? I thought he was.
What?
He's only 61.
Stop.
He's only 61.
Okay, don't remember.
And he doesn't look a day over 80.
Or young.
I was going to say, he doesn't look a day over 101.
Or under it, either.
The only time he looks under 101 is when Stanley's in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may not be a senior citizen, Jimmy, but you do get the 10% discount at Kroger.
Take full advantage of it.
And he gets the discounted meal at Luby's.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Oh, well. We've got lots more old music for you as we're discussing Pride Day and events that we've been to and our impressions of them. Steven is here.
Hi.
I hope.
Yes, he's still here.
As his eyes pop wide open.
Yes. Steven Bratson is here, who is another ex-hatcher.
Hatchling.
Yes.
Which is why I'm here.
Yes.
Hatchlings all over.
And which is why your parents were the Grand Marshals this year.
They were.
And I know that. You know, when they... I went to the ceremony where they made the announcements, and I just was so thrilled. I probably gushed with your mom and dad because I was so happy that they got it.
Well, you were at the being an ex or a past year Grand Marshal yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You were Sue and Jim Null nominated them, and I believe that goes then in front of the board or past years, and then y'all vote to put the select few on the ballot.
We do. Yeah, I'm on that. I'm on that committee. Yes, and oh, I was so happy to see that come across.
Yeah. They were nominated by Jim mm-hmm. and Sue Null,
mm-hmm.
Which is the reason the two of them are the reason we're in PFLAG.
Yeah.
Back in 01, I did a hate crimes march in Austin, and they asked. They were like, "Oh, get your parents to come to PFLAG." I'm like, "They will never come to PFLAG. That's just a lost cause." And they're like, "Oh, well, here's some information," and just give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And
surprise.
Yeah. After a year of exodus, which you can read that in the new Outsmart magazine, a great article about my parents.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we went to a year of Exodus International. Ooh. And yeah, that must have been
awful for you.
Yeah, it was. By the time we had gone, I'd already been out in the gay community, so that helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was really confusing back then.
Yeah, but there's probably a lot of hot guys you could please look at.
There were.
That's the one thing I noticed. Sue got a bunch of people together when the Love One Out conference was here a handful of years ago. And we got together.
45 South?
Mm-hmm. We got together and we did some nonviolent communication training. And then Sue took a band of people into the Love One Out conference. And we looked for people who looked a little bit of out of place, or maybe they weren't sure they wanted to be there. And so we would talk to, you know, individual people.
How many times did they throw Sue out of that event?
They only threw her out once, but it was because they caught her distributing, like, little leaflet pamphlet things in the women's restroom. I'm just glad they didn't see her sticking P-flag info cards in the books in the bookstore, because she was doing that too.
She's incredible.
She's amazing. Is.
Yeah, she has no fear. No fear.
None. And of course, then when they told her that she was required to leave, she said, well, can I at least get my $60 registration fee back?
And
they were all too happy to return her money.
Paul, at least she got her money back.
I need to tell folks that we're having a good time here, and that the After Hours official photographer has just walked in, Paul.
Yeah, I had to tell him his cap was still on. He was trying to snap a picture with it on.
Well, you know,
which is really hard to do because that is a through the lens view.
Oh.
So all he could be seeing is black anyway.
But I don't think he was looking through the lens. That's why I was trying to flag him down.
Pretty red faced. I mean, he was out at the festival today and
taking
at the
lots of
tonight,
pictures.
And my goodness,
lots and lots of pictures.
Yes.
800 or 900 this weekend.
Whoa! 900
and
pictures.
Then there's a pool party tomorrow.
Oh, pool party tomorrow.
Yes. Did you get the two?
Did you need? Did you need help holding your camera tomorrow?
I did.
I'm going to have lots of help.
I'll bet you are.
He's probably going to have help holding more than his camera.
Yeah.
I already had that problem.
He brought his own tripod.
I see.
The young ones are feeling frisky tonight.
Yeah.
Take liberties.
You think? Could you even get inside of South Beach tonight?
Sideways. When I first got there, they were lined up, and I jumped to the head of the line and slid through the door sideways.
Ooh. Ooh. And it was packed in there, wasn't it?
Yes, it was solid.
Mm.
Even the smoking veranda was jammed.
I'll bet it was. You know, tonight, every bar in the Montrose is packed, packed, packed.
Wabba Amp had a nice crowd and some fine entertainment.
Oh, they had some...
those two young guys doing the dancing.
Yeah.
And signing autographs.
What with?
They made him use a pen.
Oh, sorry.
Something about licensing.
Yeah, they get sticky about that, so to speak.
Well, the pen is my urine sword.
Okay, yeah.
Ouch. Sorry about that, folks.
Ooh, that was terrible.
What are you doing?
I just turned the mic.
Well, don't turn the mic anymore.
I won't do that. Okay. Back
Who gave you license to turn the mic in the first place?
My God. It's like her mouth isn't big enough.
I turned it so that Paul could talk.
All I had to do was turn up the mic a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to the Bratsons.
I got a fine picture of them in the car.
To be continued.
Yes, yes. So here we are, you know, two, you know, wonderful people from Santa Fe.
Little old
town, yeah.
So I know about that town. My grandparents used to live there.
See?
We joined PFLAG in that first parade. Mom and I marched, and Dad wouldn't have anything to do with it.
I can't even imagine that, knowing your dad.
Then the next year, they were like, well, what are we going to do for the float? And Dad was like, well, we can build a float.
Mm-hmm.
So for the next 7, 8 years, we've built a float for PFLAG.
See?
Houston, many awards, which is great, with the help of Sarah, also from PFLAG.
Mm-hmm.
But, I often say they have more pride than I do, and now it's official.
I know.
And they've been on the show a few times.
Yes, they have. Yes,
I tried to get them up tonight, but they were just too tired.
I figured they were wiped. I didn't even ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when they came by where I was standing, they were both just beaming and smiling so big and waving.
You know, when you're the Grand Marshal, it's just such a thrill that when the parade is over, so is your energy, because you have used it all.
Yeah, buddy. By the end of it, my voice was so gone.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet it was.
I know mine was.
It's funny. We often say we built the float there in Santa Fe. In the first year, our house is way off of almost towards Alvin, mm-hmm. but their business is right in the middle, two blocks from the police station, a block from City Hall.
Mm.
And each year, we built one more thing there at the office. In the last couple of years, it was the float right in the front of the shop.
No kidding!
Yeah, and everybody knows that once a year, that trailer pops up, everybody comes out and helps, and then it disappears for another year. Nobody asks questions.
That is so fantastic.
But now there was a few of all the guys that work for my parents help on this, and then one year the mechanic, we have a outside vendor mechanic come in and work on some stuff, and we were all there in the afternoon, and he had asked a lot of people what's with the float, and nobody would say anything. So at the end of the day, we were all in there about to clock out and go home, and they're like, so they all asked me that I'm supposed to ask Steven about the float. And it was a mad dash for the door. About 15 guys just gone.
Sort of like when Chris says, "Let's go to music."
Yeah.
Hold on, I got breaking news.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Oh.
I give up.
Okay, honey.
I give up. I got to take Sleeping Ugly out there home too. So.
Wow.
Ooh.
Well, at least he made it this time, though he's leaving early when I showed up, but he made it.
See you next time, Tigger. So long. Farewell.
See you, Chris.
Avitas and goodbye. Bye.
Yep.
Be careful driving home.
It's gonna be quite the choir.
Don't fall asleep and get, like, dead.
that's
okay, honey.
I surrender.
See you next week.
See you next week, Chris.
Okay.
We'll trash talk him when he gets in his car.
We are going to get through this.
We are?
About the Bratsons.
Oh, okay. Wow. Your faith is astounding.
Okay, so.
All right, so this mechanic, time for a music break.
This mechanic says what?
So he asked again. So I was told to ask you about this float. Mm-hmm. Everybody's gone by this time. Like, well, they got involved. It's the gay pride float. He was like, well, how'd y'all get involved in that? Like, okay. How am I gonna, how else am I going to come out at this?
Yeah.
I was like, well, I came out to him about 6 years ago. He was like, oh, okay. You working on that disco ball for that? Didn't miss a beat. I mean,
whoa,
the most stereotypical Big Bubba guy covered in grease because he just got out of one of the tractors.
Oh.
And I was like, yeah, we're, because the disco ball normally hangs, and we're actually making it where it was standing up instead of hanging because it jostles back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So he helped us for the next hour work on this disco ball.
You're getting me.
No,
man.
Put it on the...
That's great.
For the gay pride parade.
And the gay pride parade, which is great. And the little cafe there.
Wow.
Dad brings the... A couple years ago, they won a trophy for one of the floats.
Mm-hmm.
Brought it there, set it right there on the front counter of the little cafe there in town.
Your parents have not only been an inspiration to other parents, but they have educated an entire town.
Yes,
no doubt.
Which is just absolutely amazing to me, the courage it takes to do that.
Exactly.
Because your parents' business is there. It's their bread and butter.
Yep.
You know, if the town turned against them, it wouldn't be just...
Right, they couldn't just pack up and leave.
Yeah!
It's, yeah.
Yeah!
It's the... Really, I mean, well drilling, it's not a grocery store.
Yeah. You have to pack up a well and...
Yeah. You got a point.
It's just incredible to me. And
but,
I
Mom,
how far we've come.
Very true.
Very true. I wish my parents had been like yours at that
Yeah.
time. But at the same time, part of what he was saying during that story goes to show that, yes, we're out.
Mm-hmm.
And it does get easier every time you do it.
Yep.
But at the same time, unless maybe you're at, you know, wearing a t-shirt that says gay pride or something like that, you don't just come out once. You have to do it over and over again with each new person you run into that doesn't know. And every time...
You have to weigh out safety.
Exactly.
What's the purpose of this? Am I going to benefit?
Yeah.
I mean, how are they going to react?
Yeah. Well, I just don't worry about it.
And, you know, 21 years ago when we started this show, that was the purpose of the show, is to tell people to come out. And I felt guilty a lot of times because... 21 years ago...
It was dangerous.
Yes, it was dangerous.
It can be dangerous now.
I was out because I could afford to be out. Nobody could hurt me in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, they tried to lock her in a closet once, but the door burned down before they even got her in the house.
I'm such a flamer, yeah.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Speaking of coming out over and over, one thing I have an advantage of, and I kind of knocked down a whole bowling alley full of pins when I did it, is when I came out at work.
Yeah.
I did it at the company Christmas party.
Oh, my.
You know, that's like coming out at Thanksgiving to your family.
I actually took my boyfriend at the time to the company Christmas party and introduced him as my partner, and we're sitting there listening to the president of the company do his little speech that he does every year. And it was funny because I looked to my right, and there's one of my coworkers sitting there with his girlfriend, and they're sitting there holding hands and cuddling and stuff like that. And at the same time that they're doing that, my boyfriend was sitting on the other side of me, and we had to turn to the side. So we're sitting side saddle in the chairs, and he just leans back into me.
Oh.
And just sits there like that. And nobody said a word, nothing. The only time I have to come out anymore at work is when we get a new group of guys in for the sales force. But everybody else in the company already knows that I'm gay, so it's it's nothing new to them. So it's like whenever gay jokes get cracked and everybody else is sitting there making jokes and everything, these guys are like...
Mm.
They look at me strange and like... Is he gay? And everybody looks at them and says, yes.
Well, that is one thing. If you tell the right couple of people in your school or your workplace or your group or whatever, then you don't have to worry about how am I going to tell this person.
Right. Exactly.
Especially at school. School is the worst.
When I finally came out in prison, I told 5 people.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take?
2 days later, pretty much everybody on the unit knew.
Yep.
That's about how long it took. Mm-hmm. You know, it went
news
from...
News travels fast, especially when it's shocking.
Okay. I want to ask both of you the same question. Tigger, Wes, what made you come out at work and in prison?
Well, I know for me, it was a do or don't situation for me, because I wanted to go to the company Christmas party, and I wanted to take my boyfriend with me. And he said he would only go with me if he could go as my boyfriend and not as a friend.
Okay.
So I said, fine, we'll do that. Because up until that point, I hadn't been out at work.
That must have taken a lot of courage.
Actually, no, it didn't. I went balls to the wall on that one, so to speak, and just said, the hell with it. If they don't like it, they can kiss my ass.
Okay.
And we walked in. I shook hands with Randall Reed, and then shook hands with Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And walked over. We got our picture taken and went on with the party.
Wow.
And nobody said a word.
Okay.
And, I found out a few days later why. Because the service director and one of our service writers were both openly gay.
Oh, okay.
So stepping stones had already been set in place. So now there are 3 stepping stones for anybody else that wants to come out at Planet Ford.
Now, in prison, you know, telling everybody, you know, if you don't like eating this, my ass, likely you could get your ass kicked.
Oh, yeah, I'm missing some teeth.
So, you know, yeah, so why would you come out in prison?
It was a combination of factors. I came out in 1984. Yes, I'm old.
You're not that old.
Thank you, Jimmy, but that doesn't mean a lot. Hey, I finally got one.
Wow. Right. You're fitting right
in. He catches
on
quick. Yep.
No, I came out.
He's filling Chris's shoes.
Nacogdoches, Texas.
Yeah, this was before prison, right?
Yes, in Nacogdoches, Texas, which is about 2.5 hours north of here. Piney Woods, neck of nowhere.
Yeah, you know, great grandmother used to live there. I know all about it.
Yeah,
Bubba Country.
Definitely.
But it's very pretty out there.
And, yeah.
As long as you don't mind ticks.
Now.
But I came out when
we put
I was
up with
13
you, Scott.
There.
Yeah.
And I went through with the harassment and the fighting.
I can imagine, you know, because in 84, you would get that in Houston.
Oh, yeah. And I lived out until I went to prison.
Yeah. And then you went back
in. And then I got scared.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not telling anybody anything. I'm not getting the advocate. I'm not, you know, I'm just going to do my time. And it ate at me. It just ate at me. And, you know, I felt like I was killing part of myself that I had fought hard for years to, you know, it's one thing to not come out of the closet, but to come out and go back in slow motion suicide spiritually and emotionally and mentally to me. And it was just killing me. And then, you know, there were a handful, and I mean a small handful, less than a dozen, openly gay men on my unit. Now, there were several that, you know, people knew, but as far as in who were just, hey, I'm here, deal with it, there just weren't that many. But they got a lot of harassment.
Yeah.
And I'm standing here afraid to say anything about the crap that they're putting up with because I'm afraid
you'll be singled out.
That I'll be singled out. Yeah. Well, what's your problem? You punk too? You know? And
because we're talking about a different value system in prison from the outside.
And then the show. You know, I found the show in 2003 and just fell in love with it completely. And I loved the topics, I loved the discussions, and it made me feel that connection with family that I didn't have in there, and it was wonderful. And I didn't miss it ever when I could pick it up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, week after week, I was listening to, "We're urging you to come out."
Oh.
And I was like, oh, hell no. You know, I think I wrote that in letters. You know, I'm not. You people think I'm coming out in prison. You're crazy. It's not going to happen. I'm not ready to do all that again. But the more I listened, the more I just. It wasn't that I felt. I just felt like it was killing me to continue to hide who I was. And I finally got to the point where I said, you know what? I would rather. It's cliche and it's the old T-shirt thing and everything, but it's the truth. I would rather be hated for who I am than loved and accepted for who I'm not. And so I wrote a friend of mine and said, okay, here's the following magazine subscriptions I want. I want The Advocate. I want Cosmo. I want Glamour. And I want them to start immediately.
Wow.
And that was pretty much how I came out. The magazines would come in, and a cellie would go, Dude, what's with the Cosmo? You know?
Have you ever collected all 12 before?
Yeah,
ouch.
Thank you. Yes.
Plus, there's also that gratuitous shot of a man without a shirt in every issue.
That's
really the
one.
Only reason worth looking through.
Oh, yeah. Well, what was funny was that gave me the conversation starter to say, yeah, I'm bi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry, dude, you're not my type. You know,
yeah.
Or whatever, to make him relax. But they would make fun of me a little bit at first for, like, getting Cosmo or something
like
that.
Yeah, but you can kick some ass.
But do you know how many... I had a line, a waiting list for guys on the unit waiting to borrow my Cosmo magazine.
You're kidding.
Oh, no. Every single month.
Wow.
Because not only does it have the guy without his shirt and all of that, but it would have Jessica Alba or Christina Aguilera.
Okay.
Or, you know, one of these that you would see in Maxim or whatever, but it's a different photo spread.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pictures and articles that of these women that they don't see in the magazines they were getting.
So your celly kind of, oh, well, you know, I'll read Cosmo.
Yeah, so I was the only one on the unit getting Cosmo, but there were a lot of guys reading.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
After the first 3 to 6 months were really rough. The amount of violence did increase for a while. But once they realized that, I wasn't going to hit on anybody anymore after I came out than I was before, because they don't sell condoms on commissary.
Yeah.
If they had, it might have been a different story. But since they don't...
Good for you. I went in clean.
I was trying to come out clean.
That's right.
Once they realized that I would respect that and wasn't going to be hitting on them, and yes, I would go back there into the back, hide from the cameras, and stand there toe-to-toe and fight.
Mm-hmm.
Win or lose, they were going to know that they had been in a fight. They pretty much started leaving me alone.
Yeah.
The downside is, before that happened, I lost 8 teeth.
Ooh.
And had race traitor tattooed on my chest. That's the only prison tattoo I have.
Mm-hmm.
Few guys held me down while another guy...
Ooh.
Tattooed race traitor on my chest, because with the white supremacist groups, they're more anti-gay than your average right-wing evangelicals.
Very much so.
It's a death sentence in some of those prison gangs to get caught as engaging in non-heterosexual activity.
Yeah, but, you know, these are guys... no, never mind. They do it.
But it worked out all right, because after that first 3 to 6 months, it did get a lot better, and people pretty much left me alone, and I had my advocate, and I had my fashion magazines, and my time got a whole lot easier.
Good.
And I didn't feel miserable all the time. And in October,
but you had to go
always
through
put a little rainbow thing up in my cell and everything for National Coming Out Day.
But you had to go. But look at the hell you had to go through to come out on the other side. You know,
well, considering what I went through in the 80s in East Texas, 3 to 6 months is not that bad.
Oh, oops.
You know?
Oh,
yeah,
that's true.
I mean, I still got, you know, yeah, I've got a tattoo, but it can be covered up. The teeth can be replaced once I finally earn enough money to be able to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't...
That's true.
...permanently damage me to where, I mean, I'm working concrete now. I'm not, you know, disabled. They didn't kill me.
So. Good.
Whew.
Under the heading, that which does not kill you.
Maybe you're stronger.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, I think it's time for music.
Woohoo.
I got to sit and think about all of that.
Yeah. So are we going to go vinyl or are we going to go CD?
Let's go... let's go CD, the last one that I gave you.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
This is a song that we used have used many, 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 many times to open the show. It's by Erasure. And it's a cover of an ABBA tune.
I was going to say, it's not the group would have expected to be doing this one. But
yes, okay. But it's so perfect when it's sung by a boy.
Here we go.
Better than when ABBA did it.
I liked when ABBA did it. Thank you very much.
I just said better. I didn't say ABBA was bad. Relax.
We'll take this outside.
Moment mal. Ich bin ganz atemlos. Und in my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a
walked up to me and he asked me if I wanted a dance. He looked kind of nice, and so I said I might take a chance. When he asked me to help me tie, and when he walked me home at night, all the stars were shining bright, and then he kissed me. Each time I saw him, I knew I wanted to see him again. I wanted to let him know he was more than a friend.
Almost cried, and then he kissed me. And then he kissed me.
You're listening to listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, Queer Radio with Attitude, After Hours, on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, www.kpft.org. We're going to go on with a little more music, then come back and have a little more talk about Pride. Hope everybody's had a great evening, and here we are.
Every night and day, and I never forgot a minute of sleep, 'cause I was cruising the piers by every river and bay. Big queens keep on turning,
turning.
Proud Marys keep on yearning, trolling,
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 trolling on the river,
trolling on the river.
That's it.
Trolling,
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 trolling, trolling on the river,
trolling on the river.
A one, a two, a one, two, three, four. Hey, Marines were easy bait in Memphis. Punked a lot of priests in New Orleans. They got every tie that cruising by the river. Hustlers and choir boys and leather queens. Big queens keep on turning,
turning.
Plow Marys keep on burning,
burning.
Trolling,
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 trolling on the river.
Trolling on the river.
Trolling,
trolling,
trolling on the river. Hey, if you go down at the river, you could do a neighbor or a relative. You don't have to worry if you lose your hand, because the people on the river are happy to give. Big queens keep on turning,
turning,
and down there is keep on churning,
churning,
trolling,
trolling,
trolling on the river,
trolling on the river,
trolling,
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 trolling on the river.
Hey! Hey there!
Kenzie Six.
Yeah.
They never fail to entertain.
I figured that was kind of apropos.
Yeah.
I was just telling the story about that fundraiser, Jimmy, we did.
Oh, God, that was
P-Flag.
So fine.
Nothing like having 60 P-Flag parents in the audience of the Kenzie Six at the Hobby Center.
Yes.
And then bust out, and I will swallow him. Oh, we had a lot of money on that fundraiser, though.
And that's exactly why my parents will never be in P-Flag.
No, Kenzie Six came to Houston, and they are incredible.
Oh, they're great.
They are incredibly talented. They do a wonderful show. You're entertained from the beginning to the end. And they do these really edgy songs.
Very well put.
Wow, that was tactful.
Because I remember, because I knew the music, and I knew what they were going to do, and I'm thinking, oh my God, all these straight people.
It wasn't soon after we did Dame Edna, which was a little bit more tactful.
Mm.
Really?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Not much.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, we made a lot, yeah.
But that was great.
They have like 5 CDs now, don't they?
Uh-huh. At least. At least.
The Gay Republican's always great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not on this one. I'm sorry.
I'm no, it is.
Reminded of some of the speaking parts in that Flirtations album where that concert at in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
the live one?
The live concert. And they say something. And it's like, they refer to some of the audience members as homosexually challenged. and so-and-so's memorial, they saw a plaque in the bathroom, the memorial bathroom. It's like, and they said, and Michael Callen pipes up with, "I wish somebody would name a tea room after me."
Ooh, wow.
Somebody should name one after me.
Do this in remembrance of me.
I think they do.
And they should. Ooh. Hey.
Oh, my God.
Hey, hey, hey. It is 3:10.
Yes, already?
Yeah.
We have made it 3/4 of the way through our Pride show.
Yes. Woo-hoo! It's the Pride show, which is always an open forum for folks to come in and talk about their experiences at the Pride Parade and the festival.
I probably would have dragged my mom this year.
Yeah.
But however, she went to go visit her fiancé.
Oh.
Who is an MBB right now.
Ah. So she was...
He's going to welcome them next year.
Yeah.
So. Yep. Well, you know, surprisingly right. enough, because my mom is so accepting of both me and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she almost treats me and Sean like we're a couple.
It's kind of odd,
but mm-hmm. Nice at the same time because yeah. I mean she includes them in my life. I wouldn't be surprised if she had a little more time in her schedule. She probably would join PFLAG because both me and my brother are openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow,
is yeah. right.
Yeah, yeah. My brother's. Even works at the same place that his partner works at, so that's how openly gay they are.
Wow.
Wow.
So.
Cool.
Hmm. That is cool.
Yep. It's always fun watching parents learn how to deal with that.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was kind of surprising to me, because I when I wanted to come out to my mom, I agonized over it for a long time of how I was going to do it.
Now, how old were you?
I was 23,
mm-hmm.
I think. Somewhere around that age range. And I think I agonized over it for about 6 months, how I was finally going to come out to her.
Wow.
And there was a final push. My brother's ex-wife was being a real...
Queen bee?
Yeah, that's the nice way of putting it. And I figured, well, you know, if this is going to be the night to do it, the only person that's going to do it is going to be me. And I wasn't able to do it in person, so I had to do it over the phone. And I said, Mom, I have something I need to tell you. She's like, what? I was like, I'm gay. And then in the next heartbeat, without even missing a stroke, she was like, whatever makes you happy, Wes.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to say, what did you say?
Color me green.
Yeah. I was like, you mean I agonized over this for 6 months and that's all you've got to say to me? You're not going to yell, scream, and get upset with me? Sorry. And I agonized over this for... Needless to say, my mom is very accepting. In fact, over the years, me and her have both sat on the phone. Especially when I lived in Florida, we would sit on the phone and bash guys together.
Digger, how was it with your folks?
Oh, man. I have mentioned my father's a minister, right?
Yeah. You have. That's why I was interested in knowing.
It wasn't quite a parallel to Wes's
story. I see.
Nothing's ever parallel to Wes. Thank you very much.
I didn't agonize for months trying to figure out how to tell my parents.
Yeah.
Because my father busted me.
Ooh.
With my second boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. Because I came out when I was 13, but not to my family. I mean, I started the coming out process, and I came out to my friends, and mm-hmm. I came out to school, and luckily for me, my teachers thought, well, if he's coming out here,
he's all right,
his family must already know.
Yeah.
So they never mentioned it. You know, the school didn't call my dad and go, you know, you're doing. So I didn't have any of that. So I had about almost a year while I was out in certain areas and not out in others. And, yeah, my dad caught me with a boyfriend, and that was the end of that, as far as in them not knowing.
He got the short and unabridged version.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, guess what?
Look where I've got... Well, never mind. You see where I've got that.
Oh, and it was behind the church, too. So
oh!
Dang, he was
wow.
cute. But,
fun.
my mother and I suddenly became, you know, like the army. She pretended she didn't know. I pretended that I didn't know that she knew. And we played Don't Ask, Don't Tell for years. It was kind of just, don't bring it up around your mother.
Yeah,
I know what that's like.
Yeah, now my father, he actually handled it fairly well considering where he's coming from. It was kind of a situation where, you know, it was more of a,
hey, John,
I wish I knew why you felt you needed to choose this kind of thing. But that having been said, both my parents, while they are not as accepting of my bisexuality as I would like, and whereas I know I would have problems if I got in a monogamous relationship with a guy and wanted to bring him home for Thanksgiving dinner, they have demonstrated very much over the past 20 years or so that they love me, they accept me, and they will stand by me. And when I went to prison, my dad drove about 5-hour round trip at least twice a month to come see me on a regular basis. Wow. They made the effort. My mom came whenever she could. They, you know, my father bought a trailer when he thought I was going to make parole back in 2003, 2004. And put it on his place. So I'm actually living in a trailer that they're providing for me. I'm paying the utilities, but I'm not having to pay rent, which is a real good thing while you're just getting on your feet and everything. So they've been real supportive, but at the same time, it's an uncomfortable subject. We don't really discuss it. Now, you know, my mom's seen me in my heels. So, I mean, you know, come on, I played with her Barbies when I was 5. Where is the coming out part? I don't, you know, I don't understand. It's like, okay, I love to shop with you. One of my favorite hobbies was cooking with you. I played with all your old dolls. You caught me when I was 9 wearing your clothes because I was almost as big as you were. Where's the surprise? But, you know, hey, it worked out. My brother is the one that I had the most trouble with. I have 2 younger brothers, and one of them won't talk to me. And, oh, I love that song. That's my song, my theme song right there. But he actually called me about a week or so ago, and we talked for about an hour and a half, and he was, you know, hey, I'm going to come see you, and when I do, I don't want you tearing the house up, you know, hiding anything or changing anything. I, you know, want you the way you are. And that was just, it blew me away. Took years, but finally.
Okay, let's listen to the song a little bit, because this is a version done by a man.
Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I tried. When it starts, we talking to me, coming to me, everything is all right. Tell me now everything is alright. Can we get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. He was. Was in his eyes
Jeff Krasner, Son of a Preacher Man.
That's one of my favorites.
That boy can sing.
I think there was a period of time when I was writing letters when I was actually able to pick up the show. Mm-hmm. I think I requested
song you did.
Like week after week week.
I know.
It must have driven Chris just absolutely up the wall.
Actually, Chris called and said he was listening to you and said, quick, play Son of a Preacher Man.
Thank you, Chris.
Called on my cell phone.
Too. Yeah, yeah, he did.
In fact, I realized he was calling on my cell phone, because I have it on vibrate right now. Realized it was my cell phone ringing. I picked it up, and he was hanging up as I was picking up. So I had to call him back. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you done talking?
I am. I am indeed.
Okay.
Yeah, I love that song. Chris put together a CD of music, and for the opening song, he did another one of Jeff Krasner's songs called 110 in the Shade, which we thought was perfect for this evening.
Yes, definitely.
Just in case anybody... And where was the shade?
Yeah,
exactly where was the shade?
I think it was right over the KPFT float while
we were under a tree. It was great.
Oh, and the history tent, of course.
And the history tent.
That was air-conditioned.
Yeah. I know that 50% of the people who came in just came in to get the air conditioning, but that was fine because they probably learned a little something.
Oh, it was fabulous display.
Thank you.
I wanted to see your tent, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, the G-Cam tent, not your tent.
Well, there was the history tent.
Yeah.
There were three different groups in there. There was GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, Inc.
Well, that joke just went right over his head.
Yes, I... no, it didn't. And Larry was there with part of the BOTS collection, which is housed at RMCC. And Joe was there with from the Transgender History Project. With some amazing transgender history.
Cool.
Yeah, that was really neat.
Mm-hmm. Did you take time to look at that over there?
Cause
she's got stuff. She's got a newspaper from 1849 talking about a transgender woman.
Wow. Did you pick that up from school?
Yeah, no, I used to deliver it.
Jimmy was the neighborhood paper girl.
He delivered it to Stanley's doorstep.
There you go.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking about...
Because Stanley was already grown up by then.
No, it wasn't.
The old part, I think I really... Okay, the last Pride I went to was many, many moons ago. I mean, I did the last eight. I was incarcerated, and then there were several years before that I was not able to attend. So it's been a while, and, you know, I know nobody here is going to believe me, you know, looking at me now, but I've got, you know, I can give you a website address. You can look at old pictures. I used to go to Pride, and I would get, like, hit on left and right.
Amazing.
And then tonight...
I'm not surprised.
I go up there. No.
No,
not so much. So I mean, I only got hit on twice all day. So I was like, okay, that's it. It's official. You're old.
Yeah. Oh,
just for the record.
Well,
regardless of all that nonsense, you're still cute.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry. You'll soon move into the new category.
New meat in town.
Well, no, not that. You see, because you're probably in the same category I am right now, where it's limbo. Where you're too old for some and too young for the others.
Yeah.
You'll soon move to the category to where you're just right for everybody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I like that one.
Yeah, it doesn't last long.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because, really,
thanks, Jimmy. He was giving me hope, you had to shatter it.
Sorry.
Yeah, well,
I mean, I went to all these different displays, and they gave me handouts and handouts and handouts. I've got pockets full of condoms.
You're ready to go.
And don't need them.
I was just told I would. I had to wait till I was 80.
All I got was pockets full of those damned leaflets from Jesus freaks trying to save my soul. And I'm like, do you not see the pentacle around my neck?
That's why they're
okay,
giving.
Okay, now are you talking
this
about
this happy little piece of paper? Ain't gonna change my mind.
Now, are you talking about the Christian gay groups or like
No, darling.
That pentacle is why they're giving you those pamphlets. They're trying to save your immortal soul.
I heard about the protesters or whatever who were going around handing out. But I didn't encounter them.
I think it was the last Jesus freaks handing out little pamphlets.
You know, now I
think it was
have
the last year that we had
churches.
The parade during the daytime. I think was the last time that they actually had like a little corner set aside just for the dissension.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I think I was marching with Hatch that year, and I was wandering up, and I was wearing. I went through a whole series of like square cuts for like about 4 or 5 years. That I would wear out to the parade, you know, with combat boots. And so I walked up to the Descenders corner, you know, wearing this itty-bitty T-shirt, these square cuts with a lace-up codpiece, and I just started asking for their phone numbers.
You are evil.
You know, they might as well just participate if you can stand there bitter.
There you go.
I'm sorry. Well, maybe that's why they don't show up. You cannot come to our parade and not participate.
I stopped by the MCC, the Montrose Counseling Center table there. They were in the other side of the tent that we were in. And this cute young boy said, well, how many condoms are you going to want? And I said, honey, look at me. How many do you think I need? He handed me one.
Hey, at least he handed you one.
Hey. He handed you one.
That means he at least thought you were going to get laid once.
He
if he'd have said, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't thinking, and went on to the next person, that's when it would have really hurt.
Hey, I know.
Hey, I'm dressed as Pan all day long. The guy for whom the phrase pansexual gets its name.
Yes.
And do I get a hit on by anyone? No.
Gigi's not on tonight.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, if you took all the little lube packets from all the unused kits that Merlin has, you could start your own slip and slide theme park.
Well, I have a word for you, but I can't say that on the air.
Okay, let me turn off the microphones.
Oh, I know it.
Come on, the FCC's not listening.
The problem is, he's right. I've thrown out the condom because they're all outdated by now.
The truth always is funnier.
The lube stays forever, but the condoms, not so much.
No, they're probably dust in the package.
Parade. Yeah.
The very first Pride Parade that Mom and I marched in, Dad wasn't there yet. We got done with the parade there by Katz's, and we kind of peeled off to the side and watched the parade go by. And they were throwing out condom packs, and I'm like, oh, God, please, Mom, don't get one. Of course she gets one.
Of course.
She turns to me and is like, here, you could use this more than I would.
Ooh.
I'm like, no. I know this is going to be very easy now. Full circle.
Yeah.
And then tonight, after the parade, we walked over to Subway. And my dad pulls out money to buy a Coke, and there's a safe sex pack in his pocket. I'm like, oh
my goodness.
He's like, well, I have a one and a condom.
Well.
Which would you prefer?
Well.
And once again, I say, I really love your parents.
Oh, yeah. They really are. I was talking to a guy earlier this evening, and he was asking about, well, how do parades today differ from, you know, parades when you first started going to them? And I thought, wow.
Fear factor?
Well, when I was started to go to parades, they were during the day. There's probably 5,000 to 10,000 people watching all along the parade route. Maybe there were 5 professional floats, but most of the groups were grassroots, and they put their floats together themselves. And it was smaller. and now it's, well, you saw what the parade was like today. You did say that there was probably only five professional floats, which is really down from what it's been in the past. That's the economy. But it is a lot more corporate, and it's a lot more expensive to get to be an entry in the parade. So it's cut out a lot of the grassroots groups.
Well, look at all the organizations that were in the festival.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 years ago, hell, 15, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have had all these groups. But that are major corporations, you know, big number corporations, who are brave enough to say, yeah, you know, we'll sponsor you and we could give, you know, that...
that
the straight world doesn't like this.
I was particularly interested in the gay rugby group. I thought, these guys. Let's talk about the scrum. Man, so
Isn't that where they make their first goal and then strip down naked and run across the field?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes.
That's the only thing I remember about rugby.
God bless rugby.
Nudity is a big thing with rugby players. Mm. You know.
And I've been missing out on all
that. Well, one would hope it's hot.
Well, holy... Mm. Where's the TV?
But, you know, back then, we didn't have that group. We didn't...
No.
Yeah, wow. 15 years ago, Chevron and Shell and Continental Airlines, probably not
Chase.
Part of...
Yeah, that's right. Race, that's right.
You know. Yeah, Jägermeister not giving out underwear.
No. Yeah,
I don't think...
No, but...
I don't think you would have seen a brand new
S350... Bud Light has had a float for I don't know
riding
how
down
long.
The street like
no.
that either.
Uh-uh.
True.
So is Jaeger.
The, how long have we had a major radio station, you know...
In the parade.
KRBE has been involved for a long time.
Yes. There was like three of them.
But in the late 80s, early 90s, KPFT was the only media covering it.
Right.
And we did it live.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what Jack and
Yes. Jack and Deborah Bell and a few others. Set up on the stage, and they did it for radio because they described the floats as they were going by.
Right. What made them decide to stop doing that?
Because bigger media got involved.
Mm-hmm.
And if we get, even today though, you know, on the three big stations on TV, if we get a minute and a half, 2 minutes worth of play...
Well, darling, as long as you keep dressing up like you do, that's a guarantee that there will be a photo.
Oh, yeah. But 104...
Because they only like photographing the people who look the farthest from normal as humanly possible.
So you and me will probably be photographed.
Yeah. If you could,
more so Merlin.
Yeah.
If we could get Merlin to wear a blue tutu in addition to the rest of it, we would be guaranteed front page every year.
Not in this lifetime.
But what?
All right. That's my goal for next year.
Not even for $1,000 donation to KPFT?
That's my goal for next year is to go and find a blue tutu.
Ooh.
To fit Merlin.
Ooh.
There
were
several
it,
pink tutus in front of my parents.
Now,
somebody call up here with a $1,000 donation for KPFT. We'll get Merlin
some
in a tutu.
Very scary bodies, mind you.
I said the pink tutu would be for Jimmy.
Yes, it would be.
Yes. Yeah.
We need a blue tutu for
right.
But
Merlin.
These days, 104.
And if we get both of them, they both have to wear them at the same time.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've worn a tutu before.
Donation, KPFT.
I'm sure you've worn toe shoes before.
No.
Oh.
I have worn tutus in a fundraising show. Yes.
We'll have to go find some pink toe shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You're not getting.
I'm sure the osteoporosis would discourage the toe shoes at this point.
Yeah. So
you're
with
not
the
getting me in toe shoes because I'm physically incapable of pointing my toes.
Yes.
And besides, only
no, we would never put Merlin in toe shoes. We enjoy him being in one piece.
Because
we'll find some. Faux toe shoes.
Yeah.
For
Merlin. No, but only have eight toes as it is. So.
These days, 104 advertises the Pride Parade on its radio station.
Mm-hmm.
So,
of course, they have been gay friendly.
Yes, they have.
For as far back as I can remember.
They have. They have been, but they haven't been as overtly friendly.
Right. This is true.
Well, that's because they're owned by Clear Channel, which, if you may or may not know, is owned by the Rupert Murdoch Empire.
Oh.
So I'm surprised if they are gay anything. Because, you know, Rupert Murdoch is the evil emperor
of
media.
When they did Gay Day at Astroworld, it was like gay threw up on that park.
Oh, I know. Actually, there were a handful of years where I did throw up on the park.
Okay, no. If you want to see gay throw up on an amusement park, you haven't seen it.
Gay Days at Disney.
Until you've gone to Gay Day at Disney.
I want
to
see that.
I mean, it's
and
like,
I've actually done that. I actually did it 1 year, and I swear to God, I've never seen more red in my life.
No, I'll bet.
Because every queer in that place, and I will admit, I did it too, every queer that was in that park that day wore a red t-shirt. You could tell the gays from everybody else.
Well, that's the whole idea.
Yeah. And I'll put it to you this way. There was very few non-red shirts in that place.
Oh, yeah. Well, Disney loves the gays. I mean,
but the
they
funny
would have
thing
no art department.
Come on, nobody else.
The funny thing about it, though,
buys their stuff.
The funny thing about it, though, is the drive up to the park. Now, mind you, Disney's actually banned protesting on Disney property. So, on the road up to the road that leads into the park, you see all these people with their protest signs and everything. And I actually had to beat my my boyfriend at the time and tell him to close the frickin' window because he was sitting there screaming out the window at these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, will you shut your mouth?
Yes. They're really crazy, crazy conservative Christians will help you get to hell if you provoke them.
Yeah. I just sat there. I was like, will you shut up? Shut up already. We are here to have a nice day. No, shut your mouth.
Yes, you are not supposed to taunt the lions if there is no cage.
I was like, they have teeth too. They will bite. Shut your mouth already.
Speaking of which, you know, as usual, somebody came by the floats to say, you know, don't play with the monkeys. I.e. the protesters. don't poke with the sharp sticks.
Not unless you're aiming for the heart.
Not unless you're aiming for the heart. Yeah, exactly.
Have plenty of garlic on hand.
Enough. And I didn't hear along the route while during the festival I had the people with the pamphlets. I didn't hear any protesters while we were marching.
No, given the crowd that I saw before the parade started, I have a feeling if there were any protesters, they would have been beaten to death long before the parade started. I mean,
either that or run off very quickly.
There were thousands of people in the street hours before the parade started.
Yeah. Oh, and is it just
Radical Jesus
did like
do the math?
You know, lesbians totally outnumber the guys today.
Oh, did they?
Oh, that's every year. The lesbians always outnumber the guys.
Way to go!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's some really cute lesbians out there too.
Yeah, a couple who were wearing nothing for tops more than electrical tape over the nipples. Oh, saw a couple of those.
Pasties. Several very cute F to M.
And I had one. Folks. I gave away about half of my beads, which if anybody saw the load I came in here. I took it off before the show because it was actually heavy. But I gave away quite a few of them. And these two girls came up to me while I'm walking to the station after the parade. This was the last bunch of beads I gave up. And I thought for a second there, I'm not at Pride. I'm at Mardi Gras. Because she comes walking up to me. She goes, excuse me. And I went, yes. And she went, just how gay are you? And I went, well, actually, I'm bi. And she went, I'll flash you my boobs for some beads. And I went, well, how many do you want? And she said a couple, and I said, okay. And she whipped them out.
She did, and
I gave her some extra ones because they were really nice. And yeah, that was
my.
Yeah. That was a first Pride Parade experience for me because I've never been approached by a girl with her girlfriend to flash me so that I will give them beads.
Wow.
At a Pride Parade.
Wow. Anything goes, really.
Almost. Yeah. Well, yeah, but like we were saying before, I've never seen so many boys in their underwear before.
Not that we were complaining.
No, we weren't complaining at all.
Like I said, I almost broke my neck three times.
Even my dad pointed out a few of those to me.
New Orleans.
So nice that your parents
are
helping you out with the cruising.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, I almost tripped myself with the microphone one time. I was following one of them around the
New Orleans has Mardi Gras. It. Galveston has Mardi Gras.
I think Brian had to pick my eyeballs back up.
Oh, God, what a wonderful day.
Yeah. Very much so. I wish I'd gotten some phone numbers.
I am so exhausted, but I don't care.
Well, going back to the history of Pride, I've heard it once before, years ago, and by Ray Hill.
Of course. But another relic of the community.
But, I mean, how it actually started in back with the Anita Bryant protests. And it was where they marched on the sidewalk because they couldn't even get the permit to march in the street. And they walked down like two or three blocks and turned around and came back. And that was it. That was the whole parade.
Right.
And then it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And then the next year they got a permit and was actually out in the street. But it was in Midtown, right, Jimmy?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even down this area.
The very first one was put together by Ray in 1975 and went down Main Street.
I was seven.
And he got people to march in it that didn't... It's just the Ray thing. You know, he can talk you into things.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And that's how he did it. And, of course, they didn't have another one until 1978. So...
I saw Ray today, actually.
Yeah, he was here at the station, as a matter of fact, right after the parade.
He came by the float and said hi.
He was with Hollywood this year. Yeah,
while we're somewhat on the subject of the history of the Pride Parade, that was perhaps the biggest disappointment for me today when it came to the Pride Festival.
What?
Because this year is the 40th anniversary of Stonewall.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a big deal. And I didn't find one single mention. Commemorative information. Nothing. There was nothing about that. It.
Well, speaking of commemorative information, there was a really horrible, horrible editorial in the Chronicle in the last couple days about, you know, tempering gay pride with gay humility.
Please.
Talking about... well, they talked about the Stonewall, and they were talking about, you know, all these other people, you know, who weren't gay that were hurt in the riots, which, you know, okay, fine. And then they were saying, you know, which was and it was a perfectly legitimate raid on a mafia-run, you know, establishment. And
please.
I thought, you know, they forgot to mention that there was no such thing as a legal gay bar then. That if straight people got busted in a mafia establishment, and it was mafia because the mafia would take anybody's money. Right. They don't care.
That's right.
As long as you're paying rent, who cares?
Now.
And so, but what they didn't mention is that if there was an illegal establishment like that busted with a bunch of heterosexual people, they didn't get paraded in front of news cameras and have their names published in the newspapers like happened to all of the gay people who got busted in those bars.
Right.
Oh. And so, it was night after night. It was like a run for three or four days or evening.
You know, two weekends, actually.
I thought, you know, it's all well and good. And apparently this guy who wrote the thing also blogs at the website Gays Defend Marriage. And I didn't know if exactly what the bent... I hadn't gone online to actually check out whether gays were defending traditional marriage or gay marriage. I don't know, because given how much disinformation was in that editorial piece, somehow I have a feeling that it's like the log cabin Republicans on steroids. I mean, people who have just completely missed the boat for the organization.
Now, on the other side of the coin, We're complaining because queers have not remembered Stonewall as much as we think they should.
Mm-hmm.
However, ARP. You know ARP?
Yes.
For the old folks?
Yes, both my parents are members.
Okay. On their website, there is an article, Gay Rights Pioneer Remembers Stonewall. With his papers ensconced in the Library of Congress, 84-year-old Frank Kameny, who was a gay rights leader when there was virtually no such movement in the country, has enough distance to recount his struggles with humor. They have a thing on that. They have on ARP TV. Join ARP TV as we walk with GLBT leaders and some Stonewall veterans on a tour of the neighborhood. Then, 7 years old in 1969, What the Riots Mean to Me by Dave Singleton.
Wow.
Milestones in Gay History Since ARP's Founding in 1958. Hispanic Americans and the Fight for GLBT Civil Rights. This is from ARP.
Yeah.
A straight group.
They are they're not really a straight group. They're just a, you know.
Old folks group. Old folks.
Exactly. They don't really...
Then the New York
really
Times,
brilliant organization.
The New York Times had several articles, Gay Old Times, talking about what life was like in the late 60s. I certainly do. I certainly do. They're talking about what Times Square was like, the Village, different gay bars. In fact, one that I went to.
Why is that not surprising?
You know something.
It was called the
he christened at the grand opening.
It was called the candy store.
As a minor side note to this, having grown up in New York, to this day, if you say the name of the crime family that was responsible for the Stonewall, it still strikes fear into anybody who happens to be Italian.
Sure. But, you know... Other people are remembering Stonewall, and this is a good thing because it's more mainstream now. People are learning about Stonewall.
I saw a T-shirt on a website that sells T-shirts, but it's not a gay organization.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they're targeting. You know, they have a few shirts targeted to the community, and it had Stonewall written across the top of the shirt with a pride flag underneath it, and then under that it said, "These colors don't run."
Uh-huh.
That's cool.
And I'm going to...
That's a beautiful
I'm going to order that.
I
didn't order it at the
time. I found
the
T-shirt that I'm wearing on a not-officially-gay website.
Yeah,
too.
Every time you see a rainbow, God is having gay sex.
I love that. Well, I was going to get that Stonewall shirt that I just described, and I decided not to because I knew I was coming down here for this,
and I wanted
to get something from this event because it's the first time I've been able to come back.
And you didn't find anything.
Nothing.
Yep. Yeah. I know.
Well,
I'm shocked, too.
It's been something that's kind of disturbing, though, and it's one of the things we used to talk about when we started at the Hatch Show, is like trying to make sure that the younger generations of people in the gay community understood what happened, where we came from, and it's just it's insane because the history of gay culture just keeps getting, or not necessarily gay culture, but just the gay lib movement just keeps getting more and more watered down every year.
Well, yeah, if you're a teenager and you've decided, you know, you come out and everything, and this is your first parade, pride doesn't have anything to do with Stonewall for you because there's no mention of it.
Yeah.
There's no... There's nothing to indicate at all what started it or why we're doing this. It's just a celebration.
Well, and Stonewall didn't necessarily start it. Stonewall just sort of provided a bit of an explosion.
It did.
Literally.
Well, there were movements before that.
Yeah.
But
nothing like... Because
Stonewall
stood up and said, "I'm gay."
Exactly. And the other thing that a lot of people don't talk about with Stonewall is that it was started by drag queens.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you do not... you are in trouble.
We have a song
You see a woman take off her shoes, but if you see a drag queen take off her shoes, you had better run.
Well, you see, Stonewall is our 4th of July. It is our Independence Day.
Yep. Exactly.
And every queer should know about Stonewall.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And that's why I was thinking with this being the 40th anniversary.
How very far we have come.
I mean, even in Houston, Mary's, there was years, the weekend before Gay Pride, it would always get raided.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
most people don't even know what Mary's is.
That's why we bow to it.
The other thing that a lot of people, I mean, even when I really started, like, coming out into, like, the gay club scene, like, 10, 15 years ago, JRs would still get raided regularly. And I mean, what for? It was a legal establishment. Why the hell were they still getting raided?
Well, we're getting up close to the top of the hour. I want to go out with one special song.
And then after that, we got PSAs.
For Pride, and then we have PSAs. So we're going to have to say our goodbyes right now, folks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Blessed be.
You have been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston.
And as always, www.kpft.org on the World Wide Web.
I love ORG.
This song that we're going to play became an instant anthem. It's been out 5, 6, 7 years by, who is it? Leave It.
Yeah. John Gilbert.
Leave It. And it's called Pride. I want to leave you with that.
Good night,
we'll
Chris.
See you next week.
Have a great night, everybody. See you next week.
See you, Houston.
See you whenever.
detail. HX cyber sex march on DC. Greg Louganis, Selton John, George Michael, what is going on? Lilith Fair, rowdy girls, spend a day at Disney World. Coonan and Scare, the Mick the Case, Ian, Ellen, Will and Grace, Matthew Shepard, God bless you, what else can we look forward to? Pride, pride, gotta have pride. It's been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. It's time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets and follow the tide. Pride, pride, gotta have pride. We've been around too long to keep it inside. Pride, can't sit back and watch from the side. Pride is power and power is pride. Time to celebrate all the colors of the rainbow. Get out into the streets, follow the tide. Pride.
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston. Up next is PSAs, and then following that is Idico Pasale. Mary's in the house tonight, so everybody have a great Pride weekend, and we'll see y'all next week.
It's election season at KPFT. Nominations are now open for the KPFT Local Station Board, with voting beginning in late August. You may only vote with an official ballot that KPFT will mail to members who are current as of July 15th. If you're already a member, please make sure your mailing information is up to date. If you're not currently a member but you would like to vote, you will need to join by July 15th. Likewise, if you're a KPFT volunteer, please confirm your contact information for the upcoming elections. For membership, please call 713-526-4000, extension 314 during regular office hours, or send an email with your name, address, and phone number to membership@kpft.org. For volunteers, please call 713-526-4000, extension 316 during regular office hours, or send an email with your name, address, and phone number to volunteer@kpft.org. Complete election, membership, and volunteer information is available at kpft.org. This is KPFT Houston.
Live Oak Friends Meeting invites you to spend an evening with singer-songwriter Hank Woshi. That little Quaker meeting place up in the Heights will be hosting this special evening to benefit the Quaker Peace Festival to be held this fall. The Muses Muse states that Hank Woshi is a Texas-based songwriter who handles protests and social observations in the style of Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, Bruce Springsteen, and John Prine, and that he is a worthy voice in that cause. This concert will be held on July 10th at 7:30 p.m. in the Quaker Meeting House located at 1318 West 26th Street, Houston, Texas 77008. For more information, visit friendshouston.org or call 832-466-1342. This is KPFT Houston.
This is KPFT FM 90.1, 89.5 in Galveston. And
the free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.